So many things. It's the news, according to me. Chai. It's chai. Yes. It is Monday. Mishmash Monday. April 24th. I'm looking right at it. April 21st. I guess I'm trying to get through the month, which I don't know why, because I'm on vacation. I just as soon have April 21st and April 21st A, April 21st B. Just add a couple more days in there. I'll take a few more days this month. 8:48 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host with some kind of weird thing going on in my throat. I don't know what's going on there. I got some kind of weird voice thing happening. It's almost as if I need more chai or something. I don't know. I know that this time of year, with the weather going between near freezing to 50s, 60s, back to near freezing, and of course there's pollen and mold and all kinds of stuff in the air, something weird happens to my sinuses. And in the process, I have, most of the time I find this in hotels. When I stay in hotels, air quality, because of the air conditioning systems that they have, there tends to be, of course, I'm constantly changing locations when I'm traveling around. What I've found is that typically I end up with some kind of sinus, and it's not bad. It's not as bad as it used to be. I used to have a lot of sinus issues. I have since solved some problems. One is I neti pot quite often, and I also have TMI, whatever. You just have to deal with it. This is a commercial free show, so you get everything that's coming out of my brain. I have, and everything that's coming out of my sinuses, I guess, at the same time. It might as well be. But we have a lot of things to talk about today. Of course, I have my chai, my Pacific Island chai, and I have Almond Joy creamer in there, which I have stockpiled up. My wife went and got, she found two of them. It was on sale at the local market, so she picked up a couple extras. So I will be swimming almost in at least my taste buds will be in Almond Joy creamer for a while, and I have plenty of chai for a little while yet. So I have my last little bit of homemade sweet tea. Now, just a little secret here. So I put a splash, probably maybe 2 or 3 teaspoons full, maybe, of Joe peach tea into my full cup. And it gives it just this hint of peach flavor, which is just about right. If it gets to be too much, it's just too much. Joe peach tea is a little bit strong on the peach flavor thing, which is, it's good sometimes. I don't mind it, but I think it's better with just this hint of peach there. It's just kind of this, it's kind of a back flavor kind of thing. It's good stuff. The, Mishmash Mondays, by the way, are just, they're probably one of my favorite days. Even though there's a lot of stuff I'd like to talk about that I probably will forget. But the thing about a Mishmash Monday, is that it is basically just a smattering, as they say, of all of the topics that are out there and how we kind of, we're going to deal with all that stuff. I hear something. I don't know what it is. It's really bizarre. I hear something. I would assume it was the cat, but I don't. I honestly don't know what that is. It sounds like something digging or scratching or scraping. I don't know what that is. Very bizarre. I'm assuming it's something upstairs, but I don't know. It's not the dog. He's still as can be, but so I don't know what's going on. course, now there's something's turning on. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so we have these are the riggers and rows we go through. I've been out walking the dogs this morning and doing a little discipline, doing a little play. And he's taking a little nap while I do my show here. We have so many things to talk about. There's a couple things that are going on. First of all, let me our condolences to the Pope. And those of you who are of a Catholic nature, the type of persuasion, we have the Pope has passed away. The process of establishing a new Pope is kind of fascinating. I remember the first time this happened, I think, was back in that I remember in my lifetime that I remember seeing it happen was back in I think it was in the 70s, if I remember correctly. It might have been late 60s, early 70s. I don't remember exactly when I moved. When my family moved, I was a little too young to move myself, so I just kind of went along with whatever they did. I didn't know you'd say so. We moved from Ohio to Indiana. We lived in Ohio for about a year. We moved to Indiana, and my dad was going through a lot at that time. He had a business in Indiana. I'm sorry, he had a business in Illinois, in central Illinois. Due to the nature of some things that happened there, one, he had a business partner that wasn't necessarily the best business partner in the world, and he ended up leaving that town, kind of getting a new start for the family and everything else, going to Ohio, and he had this very good-paying job in Ohio. That was probably the biggest draw, was that the pay was extremely good. Since he had been managing this business, they hired him there due to his experience to manage a little. It was kind of like a five and dime. It was almost like it was the pre-Walmart days when you had like these little variety stores. They called them variety stores. And this guy owned a chain of them out in Ohio, some German guy. And one of them was in near Cleveland, near the Cleveland area, I should say. I think it was Chesterland, something like that. Ohio. And he managed that for about a year. Apparently, the powers that be there did not like him very well. He was the way he managed things. There was some politics going on locally, I guess, that was the kind of a problem, part of the problem. And I was too young to really understand. I was probably 8 years old, 7 years old when we first moved there, 8 years old when we left. We were there for about a year. Just looking back on that, my dad had been going through a lot. It was never really thought about that much, but it's just looking back on it, it just seems like he probably was going through a whole lot. Moving the family, of course, he has three kids. He has two boys, the youngest, and he's got two teenagers in the house. Young teenagers at that time. One of them just started driving. My sister was starting to drive, I think, just about a year before that. And then my brother started driving while we were in Ohio. And then I, of course, didn't start driving till they're much, 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 much older than I am. They're very old people. And I came along, I was just a baby. But I wasn't spoiled, of course, as far as I know. A lot going on. We moved here to Indiana. We were there ever since, and everything's kind of settled in really well for us. He found a really good job. Had a couple different jobs, but he ended up with fix this for the doggy. There we go. Had a very very good job. It was a construction job, hard work, and he was good. He was a hard worker, so he was some hard work, well drilling and construction and some other things. And he ended up in a factory being a maintenance guy because he was kind of a jack of all trades. Had his journeyman's license. He had his HVAC stuff and all that stuff. I don't know where he got all this stuff. How did he do all that? People look at me and wonder how I got all my certifications and all the stuff I do. I guess I kind of take after him in that respect in a lot of ways. Because he had so many different jobs and vastly different, like from one to the next. Did a lot of different things. And I guess that kind of rubbed off on me, I don't know that it did necessarily. I just kind of, same kind of brain, I guess, or something. So we ended up moving to Indiana. Now, I moved to San Diego for a little while, San Diego, California. But there's a lot of stuff going on. And I don't even remember why I started talking about this. I was talking about something. I don't know what it was going to be. What did I start talking about? Oh, the Pope passed away. So the Pope passed away. The first time I remember seeing that, the whole process, was on television. I think they even had it live on television when they had the white smoke and the black smoke coming out of the Vatican there. And as soon as the smoke changed color, then they had a Pope. We have a new Pope. The whole process. And I can't remember who the Popes were at that time. I was not, of course, our family was Anabaptist, which basically Mennonite, not Amish. My dad was raised Amish, but he never became a member of the Amish church. My grandpa left the Amish church before my dad got old enough to join. And I ended up growing up Mennonite. It would be called Anabaptist. Anabaptist was the basics of the Anabaptist movement. Now, they would claim that if you went to their seminary, you'd probably think that it was all about being anti-war. Well, they are anti-war, but that was not the primary thing that they were about. Their big thing was during the Reformation. Of course, Martin Luther, his Reformation was kind of going on at the same time, and the Anabaptist movement sprung up at the same kind of moment, but it didn't have near the notoriety that we would think of today with the Lutheran Church. But we have the Catholic Church persecuted some of the Lutheran followers, Luther's followers, but nothing compared to what they did with the Anabaptists. Anabaptists were fleeing Europe because of the reach of the Catholic Church and the way they were treating Anabaptists. My family, I guess it would be nine generations. I'm the ninth generation. When they left long, long ago, left Switzerland, they actually left Switzerland with a family from Germany. This is the whole story is kind of crazy. There was a book written about it. They were just going to help these people from Germany kind of smuggle out of the country, get to a boat and get to America. And they helped them travel because it was so dangerous to travel at that time. If people found out who you were or found out what you were doing, they would throw you in prison and do all kinds of weird things. So they were traveling with this other couple. I think there was family or something. I'm not sure if it was family or just someone's relative, something. Somehow they knew each other, part of the Anabaptist church. And they went to the boat, to the dock. And of course, the ship's captain was fully aware that these people were basically fugitives. Convinced my side of the family, folks, so you just need to stay on the boat tonight. Stay on the boat tonight. You'll be safe here. It's not safe anywhere in town. And tomorrow morning, you can get up and go back home, and then we'll be off on our way. Well, by the time the sun came up, the boat was already off the dock. It was a couple miles out to sea. And you aren't swimming back from that. All you have is what you have on your back. And of course, when you get to America, you now have to pay for your voyage. Well, you don't have any money. You can't pay for your voyage. Well, then we're going to have to sell you into indentured servitude. So my family, with nothing, was sold into indentured servitude. I think they served for 14 years. There was a 2 7-year terms, is the way I understand it. at the end of that time, at one point, the Hughes family, which I believe was the Howard Hughes family, I think it was pre Howard Hughes, actually owned them for a while. This is don't kid yourself. Indentured servitude was slavery. It was a termed slavery. And some people were locked into it to the point where you couldn't get out. It was because they charged you. This happened to me, by the way, in one of the churches I worked for. I actually worked for a small summer camp. It was a church camp. I worked full time there. I also lived there on the campus. And they charged me rent for my housing, as well as electric and gas and all that kind of stuff, my utilities. So I had to pay for all that. Well, they didn't pay me enough to pay for those things, or barely paid me enough to pay for those things. And I couldn't leave. I couldn't save money, obviously. I was working full time. Everything I made was going towards my living expenses, and I couldn't afford food. The only food I could eat was when the cafeteria was serving food for guests and for the clients when they would come in. When the kitchen was operating, I got to eat all I wanted to. I could go in and eat dinner all the time. When they weren't, which sometimes was weeks, we only had food on the weekends for retreats and such. It was the only time I got anything to eat. I would take all the leftovers I could back to my little apartment, back to my little cabin. And sometimes I would live for a whole week on chocolate pudding or whatever I had, whatever they had there. Because I literally could not afford food at that time. Now, my parents were doing fine. I could go home and get food, but that required me to get gas, put it in my car that I also couldn't afford, and I was going backwards on that. I ended up having to sell that thing. So we ended up, it was a bad situation. I ended up getting a job in a factory. And it was a long story. Anyway, it was not a good situation. And looking back on it, I didn't realize how bad it really was. I was just a kid. I was probably 20 years old, 19 or 20. And I ended up getting out of there, working for a year in the factory, and then going to Bible college. And that was probably what started kind of the best decision, probably, to get away from all that stuff. Anyway, that being said, I had it was good. I mean, I learned a lot. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bitter about any of that. I'm amazed, I guess, sometimes how religious organizations treat people who work for them. Not just religious organization, any organization. I've been through some stuff with people that I've worked for that. I just look back on that. I just think this is ridiculous. I've been an employer. I have had employees myself. And I've always made a point to try to treat them as best as I can and just to give them the benefit of the doubt as much as I possibly can, and also to pay them as much as I possibly can. Sometimes to my own detriment. I mean, I've had employees that made more money than I did in the business. And those same employees will tell you, to this day, they tell me that I was the best boss they ever had. But they were some of the best employees I've ever had. I mean, they were top-notch, top-shelf people. I couldn't have done what I was doing without them. Anyway, this is what I like about Mishmash Mondays, because there's no agenda. Even though I got some things I jotted down as I was playing, firing up the computer here, about, talk about this, talk about that. But then I end up with, going down a rabbit hole here. So but anyway, onward and upward, we got other things to talk about. The Letitia James is in the news again. Apparently I just heard some little smatterings of some stories. And of course, she's in big trouble here now. And she's been out there passionately. I think I played my last show last week, I played an audio of her ranting and screaming about how she's going to go after Donald Trump. And she's, this is, her voice is not the voice of someone with confidence, the voice of someone who is moving forward and is measured, secure in what she's saying. This is the voice of someone who is scared out of their wits. They're panicking. And again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. However, vocal stuff, especially when it's recorded, and I listened to it a couple times, it is, especially with headphones on, the nuance of things that I can pick up on, I will say this. If I'm an expert in anything, it's probably that. And I'm not that much of an expert even in that. But at least I understand that, what's going on. So, what we have going on is Letitia apparently she bought this house, little bitty house apparently in New York, and called it her, and that's what she said her residence was. And then she bought this other house in Virginia outside the state where she wanted to live because it was a nicer house and she got it cheaper, whatever it was, what the terms of the agreement or whatever it was. She was, it was a house she wanted to live in. Now, according to there, she committed all kinds of fraudulent acts against the bank. I mean, this is not her and the bank making a deal, saying that the house is worth X amount, or I'm just going to do this. This is, the bank had no idea what she was doing. She was lying to them. Now, she claims Donald Trump was frauding the bank by saying that he was inflating the price of the value of his home, so that he could get this loan that he was getting. Well, the problem with that is she was flat out literally lying. But she, you know, she's above the law, apparently. She was saying no one's above the law until now. And all of a sudden, and of course, the statute of limitations they had to change the statute of limitations on Trump's case in order to get him in. It was the same thing that they did with the whole defamation case that he had against the one lady, false accuser, whatever she is. I don't know. Accuser, false accuser, whatever she is. So what ended up happening here is Letitia, now they're doing some investigations. They put some people have showed up at her residence, the place where she's supposed to be living, and she's not there. There's someone else there, and they wouldn't answer any questions. The place where she actually lives, they showed up there as well. I believe that place now is vacant. You know, she wasn't there. Now, somehow somebody found where she's living, and they found her. I guess somehow they showed up, and her reaction was shocking. And she will not respond to any questions about this. When she's asked about this on any kind of course, she doesn't go on talk shows or anything. She doesn't take any interviews, but she makes speeches. And her speeches are just flagrantly very hyperbolic. But the interesting thing here is that she is basically, it's so ironic that she's done the same thing. She's done worse than what Donald Trump had done. And yet she's still out there claiming that Donald Trump's the bad guy. Now, apparently, of course, now Donald Trump's case is all civil charges. All these 34 felonies he's supposed to have been, and of course that's not a crime according to them, because a crime is like when you civil charge is like when you go across the border, that's a civil charge. And so they're telling us that that's not a crime. Those people aren't criminals, because you've broken a law, you've committed a crime, but you're not a criminal, apparently, in that case. That's what they're literally saying now. They've redefined what a criminal is. At the same time, if you are Donald Trump, anything you do is a crime. Now, think about this. This, Obuego, or whatever, this guy who supposedly was mistakenly sent to El Salvador, MS-13, supposedly, falsely accused of being an MS-13 guy, sent to El Salvador. He was deported. And, of course, they were enraged by this because he's a U.S. citizen and he's a father. And they just up and took the guy and sent him off without due process. You know, more than half of the Democrat Party would probably laugh, point fingers, and throw all kinds of fits of joy if Donald Trump were just scooped up off the street and deported. They would love that. They wouldn't stand up for him for nothing. But they have no problem. They have no problem with that. They wouldn't care if the guy was put before a firing squad. That's how ridiculous some of these. There's probably 20% of the Democrat, I would say the hard left Democrats, who'd probably be okay with that. They think he's the most despicable person in the world. He's Hitler, literally Hitler. Literally, they'll say that. They've asked people on the street, do you think he should be executed? Well, maybe. That's how ridiculous these people are. Then we have this guy who, there's no evidence that he's an MS-13 member. No evidence. It's all allegations. It's all hearsay. Well, let me ask you this. Let's put it a different way. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but let's put the whole thing in a different perspective here. Let's go from a different light. How would you prove that a person is a member of MS-13? How do you prove that? How do you prove that he's a member of a gang? How do you prove any gang member is a member of a gang? Did you go to one of their meetings? Do you carry a membership card? Is your name on a roster somewhere? Who keeps their records? What's the signing up process like? Is there an application online I can fill out? This is the kind of ambiguity that they have to live with. I think when you've got, of course, the left is going nuts right now because the administration put out this picture that has his tattooed hand with his fingers, and what the symbols on the fingers mean MS-13. So they superimposed on top of the fingers. It's a flat label showing that what each one means, MS-13. Now the left is going nuts and saying, that was photoshopped. Well, yeah, it was photoshopped because they put the label on there to show you what that means. They're not making any qualms about that. We put that on there because that's what we want to tell you what that means. We want you to understand what's printed on his fingers. But their heads are exploding. And again, there's no evidence of his. Well, is there any evidence of you being an MS-13 member? Show me one person that you can prove is an MS-13 member. How do you do that? How do you go? What's the process there? Because there isn't any way to do that. You can make an excuse for anybody. Now the fact is, a court determined in 2019 that he was an MS-13 member. Strangely enough, when his wife recently was asked on a show, and I'll play this, I'll probably play this at the end of the week. His wife was asked on a show whether or not if she was scared to live with the guy because she had filed charges of, she had a restraining order against the guy because he was violent. She was scared of him. I just want him home. I just want him home. Well, there's a big fat GoFundMe account, give, send, go, whatever it is. Account apparently is piling up money for his defense and piling up money for his family. And of course, that's part of the grift. That's part of what they want. And of course, if this whole deal falls through, she doesn't get any of that money. It's all about the money at this point. They're going to get, they stand to make probably $1 million. All of a sudden, he's a wonderful guy. She was flat out asked on by a very astute question, I might add, by a journalist. I use the term loosely. He said something about, are you afraid of him if he comes back? Were you in fear of your life at all? She was dead silent. And she goes, hello, hello? Like she couldn't hear him. You can see the wheels turning in her head after when she answered every other question. She heard him just fine. And all of a sudden he asked that question and she couldn't hear him all of a sudden. I think it was, what's the guy? He's a financial guy, I think, on Fox. I can't think of his name right now. I think it was him that asked the question, but I don't know. I can't remember for sure. Interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. So this is he a senator? I think he's a senator. What's his name? Chris Von Hollen or something like that. Not Van Halen, Von Hollen. He goes down to El Salvador. I don't know exactly what happened. Apparently he was able to get an interview with the guy. Of course, he's wearing his Bulls shirt and the whole thing. You know, it's all the clothing that you wear if you're an MS-13 member. And he's talking to this guy. And of course, he never asked this interviewer that was interviewing the senator. He said, so who paid for the trip down there? Well, it was part of my official funding. In other words, the taxpayers paid for it. Maryland taxpayers paid for his trip down to El Salvador. Now, truth be told, he probably spent 2 or 3 hours working on the whole process of doing something he could have done over the phone here. He spent a week down there. These people always do this stuff. This was an opportunity to take a vacation. By the way, I hope I remember to talk about Nancy Mace. I had some respect for Nancy Mace, even though there were some things that she's done in the past that I didn't really care for. But I did write down her name. Okay, so that's good. But anyway, this guy. So he gets down there, does all this stuff. This reporter asks him the question. The second question he asked him was, did you ask him if he's an MS-13 member? No, I didn't ask him that question. Now, I happen to know the way these gangs are. If you ask him that question, he has to say yes. If you deny you're a member of MS-13, they will kill you. He probably told this politician, I can't answer that question on air. I'm not going to answer that question on air, whatever it was. So knowing full well, he never asked him the question. He claims he never asked him the question, but he probably knows the ramifications of that. Well, why can't you answer that question? Why don't you ask that question, first of all? And why can't he answer it? His claim now, since that's come out, since that very poor, it's just an obliterating interview that he had with this reporter. Basically, he's come out now and said, well, I didn't have to ask him the question because I know the answer. Yeah, that works a lot of times, especially in a court of law. That works really well. Well, we don't have to ask you that question because we know the answer. No, you ask the question because it needs to be on the record. They've asked Donald Trump 1,000 times if he's, part of the 2025 agenda. They kept accusing him of that. How many times did he have to say that he wasn't? How many times has he had to answer the same questions over and over and over and over? He's blue in the face because they keep asking him. But you know the answer to this guy's questions. Before you don't even have to ask the guy. It's kind of ridiculous. Now, there is some some turmoil going on. Oh, just there's a side note. One of Tim Walz's high staff members, I think it's his chief of staff or somebody's, like one of his head staff people, was caught going out. Apparently going around, not just one, not just in the spur of the moment, passion, you know, filled his heart with the desire to key somebody's Tesla. He was going around town finding Teslas all over the, he was on a mission to key as many Teslas as he could find. Folks, these guys, Teslas have what's something called sentry mode. They have cameras on them all the time and they pick up motion. They record everything. So they got him on camera several times going around these cars and keying them. Come to find out, he's inspired by Tim. Should just wear a shirt inspired by Tim. Another little thing that's going on right now is, for those of you who don't know who David Hogg is, David Hogg was the kid who just happened to be an activist, who just happened to be at the high school. Is it Parkland or something? It was Parkland shooting down in Florida. And of course, he became very famous through that process, and he was became very politically on the forefront for the Democrats in the anti-gun agenda very quickly. Well, he's been politically active ever since. He's been got himself involved in all kinds of things. Well, he actually ran for and is elected into the vice chair position of the DNC. Democrat Party. Well, apparently they're having some problems with him now. He's coming out and saying we need to primary some of these old geezers and get them out of there. Now, his big argument is, well, the party's too old. Got too many old people in there. I'm the only candidate that was under 30 years old that's in this, you know, running for this office. And now he wants to get in there and basically start to primary some of these old guys out. Now, that is not the way the party works. Now, you might hear that from, like when you hear about the RNC, they'll talk about, like Trump will talk about primarying people out of office. That's his prerogative. The PAC groups can do that. The RNC or the DNC, that is against their rules. Now, they don't follow their rules, obviously, because they didn't follow the rules for the 2020 election, nor did they follow them for the 2020 election, 2024, I'm sorry. Trump, or basically Biden, I should say, was summarily just kind of booted out and somebody else was stuck in and they didn't have a primary. There was no rules. There was no democratic process there. Because they are not the party of democracy. They're not the party of the Constitution, even though they claim all the time that there's a constitutional crisis and this is, you know, our democracy is at stake. They don't care about democracy and they don't care about our Constitution, either one. They want to destroy the Constitution. They hate the Second Amendment. They hate all the amendments. They think Australia, South America, South Africa's Constitution is better than ours. I don't like our old laws. So David Hogg is out there promoting this whole young youth thing. And we've got to, you know, the party needs to change, but it needs to be more about the young people. You know, one of the things that young people don't really understand, and I was a young person once, so I remember. And that's my whole point here. These young people that are coming up and saying, oh, this generation, we need more young people to represent the young people. What most young people fail to remember or to realize or to, I don't know, not remember, but to think about, all these old people, they were young people once. They've lived through your years. They have the experience of living through your stuff. But they didn't have iPhones. No, they didn't have iPhones, but they had all kinds of technology. Look, the problems are still the same. Technology may have changed. There are things about our society that have changed. But they were dealing with change then as well. We had Vietnam. We had all this other stuff that was going on at the time. Technology was increasing exponentially every day. social structure, social everything was changing all the time. We've been through it. Now, there comes a point where old people peak out and they start to decline. Get out. You're beyond your prime. You're beyond your prime. It is time for you to go. And yet they hang in there because the power is such a seductive thing. And the people around them are the ones who continue to keep them in, typically. But I digress. It's just societal. It's just the breakdown in society is that way. So these young people get out there and think, well, we need young people running a show because we know it all. We got the new way of doing things. We're progressive. We're out there. You old folks with all your old ways of thinking. To some extent, that there is some truth there. But David Hogg, now they're secretly behind the scenes. Apparently, there's a Civil War. The factions, the fractured organization that it is, and they're pretending as if they're all together and they're all solid and there's solidarity there. But there's no solidarity. It is literally a convoluted mess on the left. You've got AOC, who wants to pretend like she's the radical revolutionary, and yet at the same time, she's a part of the establishment. You've got the establishment, who thinks that she's too far crazy with her agenda, with that whole group of agenda, with the squad and all those people, all those folks. Then you got the David Hoggs of the world. And you got Joaquin Jeffries, who doesn't know what to do, doesn't know what to think. He's not a visionary leader. He's nothing but a... He can come out and make a speech, and he talks too slow. There's nothing inspiring about Joaquin Jeffries. And what amazes me is Letitia James. She's counting on him becoming the Speaker of the House at the midterms. They're convinced they're going to win the midterms. Now, folks, this midterm election is going to be one of the most important in our lives, in my opinion. Probably the most important midterm election. I've never said that. But this midterm is going to be the most important one because if they gain control again of the House, or if they get control of the Senate, complete control of the House, if they get control of both, Trump is going to be impeached. No question about it. They will do that. They will be lockstep together and do the whole thing. It will be the end of them in 2028. I'm convinced of that. They will have no chance because people are going to revolt against them for doing something like that. We've got to stop it from happening. We've got to show that the American people are solid in their decision. And there's the one thing that the news media has been trying to portray is that somehow all the people who voted for Trump have buyer's remorse, but nobody wants to be a Trump voter. That is not the case. In fact, a poll just came out again showing that there's very little resistance. In fact, he's winning over more people from the independents to the left, even from normal Democrats, winning over more people than he is losing people that voted for him. And it's driving them nuts. It is driving them literally insane because that's not the narrative they want to hear. They want to hear this guy because they keep convincing themselves every day that everybody hates this guy, and they keep trying to get him down in the polls. And they live or die by the polls. So for them. And that's their whole thing. Their whole thing is we got to get him down in the polls so it becomes unpopular and then we can impeach him because nobody will care. Well, it's not happening. And they don't know what to do with that. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the polls. He wants to do what's right. So the whole thing is just a crazy mess. Now you got David Hogg in there saying he's going to primary some of the people who are incumbents. Well, that doesn't make the rest of the party very happy. Joaquin Jeffries was asked about this on a news show the other day, and he just glazed over it and said, no, we're going to be supporting incumbents. But apparently behind the scenes, the key, the word is on the street They're trying to figure out a way to get rid of David Hogg from the vice chair position. I don't even know who the chairman is right now of the DNC. Let's take a look here and see if we can find it. I don't want that. Let's go with this. DNC chairman 2025. Jamie Harrison, maybe? That's possibly who it is. Ken Martin was elected as the chair of the DNC on February 1st, 2025, following the party's losses in 2024 election. He aims at, okay, so, of course, they got David Hogg all over the place here. Ken Martin of Minnesota, apparently. That is who the current DNC chairperson is. What's this saying about that? Whatever that is. So there you go. That's who the DNC, I don't know who that person is. I don't know who they are or anything about them. Probably somebody I was supposed to know about. I don't know. The craziness of this whole thing. Now, one more thing. Let's talk about Nancy Mace. Nancy Mace is supposedly a Republican, and she comes across as kind of a quasi, I would say, a neo-Trump supporter. Not really a Trump supporter, but she tries to pretend like she is. She's also a neoconservative. She went to a prayer breakfast recently, and she talked about waking up with her. She's not her husband. They're not married. With her boyfriend, I guess. Now she needed to get out of bed, and she was going to be late, and she... And yet she was there speaking at the prayer breakfast. Now, okay, whatever. I'm trying not to judge someone for where they're at, but at the same time, to some extent, sometimes you're just kind of sticking things in the face of God. I don't know if that's, you know, it's one thing to be, I was struggling with something and having problems with something in life. But it's, at the same time, it's a whole other thing to just kind of thumb your nose at it and not have any kind of humility whatsoever about your weaknesses or your particular issues. And that's kind of just, I don't know, it just doesn't sit well with me. No, I'm not God. I don't know. But to flagrantly parade it around seems a little bit disrespectful to me. I don't know. Just, it seems something. I'm not sure what it is. So there you go. I have... I've been talking for too long. I'm up almost an hour again. Just mishmash. This is all just mishmash stuff for today's show. Looking at the week ahead, tomorrow, of course, is Topical Tuesday. A couple of the topics I'm going to be talking about. What was I going to talk about? I can't find my notes. I had some things written down here, actually. But one of the main things I think that needs to be talked about, probably about two or three things I'll talk about tomorrow, specifically topics. One is the whole thing of protests. Now, I know I've covered this quite a bit, but there is some things about protesting I haven't talked about, and we're going to talk about that again partially. There's going to be a small amount of time talking about that. The main topic I think that I want to talk about tomorrow, at least at this point, I might do something different. There's a couple other things that are kind of washing around in my head. The whole thing of the Democrat Party, what the left's agenda is right now with regard to legal stuff that's going on. And we'll talk a little bit about the whole deportation thing, the the border, some of the legal cases that Trump is facing right now, some of the things that SCOTUS has been doing, Supreme Court of the United States. So we'll talk about a few of those things and how that all plays into what's going on. And so tomorrow's show is going to be mostly about the legal aspects of some things with regard to the administration, how we move forward and all the stuff that's going on, and the ramifications of some of these decisions, because there's going to be some serious, there is serious ramifications here with this, what's happening. So in the meantime, I'd like to thank you for listening. Thank you for if you listened this far, then apparently you've fallen and you can't get up. You can't reach the stop button. So the nice thing about this week is that it's just getting, you know, nicer and nicer with regard to spring weather. Flowers are starting to come up, things are starting to bloom. But I gotta mow the yard. So I do have to get out there. Hopefully it dries up enough. We had some rain this morning. I don't know if we're gonna get any more. I don't think we are. At some point today, I got to mow the yard. And, of course, the mower has to work. So I got to sharpen the blades on the mower before I can mow the yard, because it's got to be done. And before I do that, I got to pick up sticks, because we got a lot of sticks in the yard. I'm going to dull the blade if I... Yeah, and just one thing after another. See, the good news is I got some work done on my truck, and that worked out really well, so I can start using my truck again for things. Folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day. Take care.